Supercolorful Original Telecommunicated Transmission, otherwise known as ScottCast. We are here in the year 2026, and I'm joined in the heart of Detroit. It's not sunny Hamtramck, and it's not even sunny. It is a dark, dismal winter in Detroit, and I'm here with none other than...
I am the light. The light in the darkness. Sneaky D, not so sneaky anymore.
That's correct. And oh, wait, you got a sound effect. We need
that. Oh, yeah.
Sneaky.
It's a lot better.
We got sneaky in the D, baby.
Track.
I like that beat. Phenomenal. Sneaky in the D.
Yeah.
2026, baby, coming at you.
2026. This is our big return episode. I've been through, like, I think I've decided November, my birthday through New Year's, I'm not going to plan anything ever again.
Yeah. It's a busy year this year. Yeah. You guys had a lot of stuff. Well, you're out in Nebraska.
Yeah, I go back to Nebraska to do the holiday stuff. I have a car now, so I have zero excuses. Yeah,
how's the old, the Trax, right?
The Chevy Trax? 2025 brand new Chevrolet Trax.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's not leased, but it
Chevy
is
Chevy Brothers, look at this. That's the old people of Chevy. Yeah.
That's correct. I even got a little bit of a discount.
Family
and friends discount.
Yeah.
Because of your sister.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, my sister's been, that's the other semi-announcement, is my sister, she just got promoted at Chevy. So what that means is that she got a car, like a company car.
Oh, okay.
Like, God damn, that's nice. So she got like this nice, the Denali or whatever. And she's like, you know, I got however many months left on my lease. She's like, do you want my car? And I was like, hell yeah, the Chevy Equinox. I don't know how that's going to work because I don't think I got to work out. I might have to pay for the insurance, stuff like that.
She just kind of casually mentioned
that. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm like, I would love an electric car. That'd be awesome. But
yeah, if someone like gave me a car right now and all I had to do was pay insurance, I wouldn't be able to keep it. Mm. It's fucking Detroit insurance. It's basically, it's about the same as any other part of paying for a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if she could like cancel hers. Anyways, but that'd be cool. I don't know. That's not official yet. Maybe she had one too many sips of holiday wine there when she was telling me that when we were leaving one of our family parties. And she's like, you want to check out the new vehicle? I was like, oh, yeah, I was checking out. And she's like, yeah, my other one. I was like, you know, she's like, you know, man, do you want to drive it? And I was like, yeah. You know, so now I could have two Equinoxes, you know.
Okay. Like,
because I don't even know what I would do with the other one here.
Yeah.
But that'd be pretty sick to have an electric, man. I don't know. Remember back when you were asking me why I didn't get a Tesla?
All right. Well, now's
back
your chance.
In the day. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That was back when I owned Tesla stock.
You sold that off?
This is not financial advice. This is not financial advice.
This is not financial
advice. Oh, I sold it off before it really popped off, yeah. It was on the way up, and I was trying to buy the dip, and it never dipped again. It just went through the moon. But I'm glad I got out of that situation because it was stressful owning the stock. Because of Elon. So, you know, probably for the best.
You didn't like being attached to the news cycle with the ketamine and everything?
Mm, yeah. It was just a little too much. It's nice to just be like, I just forget about my portfolio for a little bit, you know? You don't have to worry about, like, is it going to go to zero?
Yeah.
Or to the moon, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you're gambling in Vegas here.
Yeah, I tried to do some gambling with some sports betting and that.
Oh, hopefully not with Lions.
Huh? Oh, I did, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of that. When I was thinking of that, I was thinking about like this year with the Lions and how they got screwed with like every time they call into quote unquote New York is like really them calling into Las Vegas with those calls that they kept on doing against us.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, man. But hey, I was saying the silver lining because they're playing right now, actually, but it doesn't matter. The nice thing is, since the season's over, you know, like we're not making playoffs, we don't have to get our hopes up. You know, it's just like,
right.
Well, I'm never done with that. So
that's a big metaphor for how my life has felt lately.
Yeah. It's like the Lions are
embodying
it.
Now that most things are basically over, it's like, there's nothing really to get your hopes up about anymore.
Right.
So now I can kind of chill. Mm. And that's where I'm at. I'm in my chill era. That's what the...
Okay.
That's for me what this year's about.
You need to talk to my mom about getting a chill era. She's like big into the fantasy football and the sports betting. And she's like getting really into...
She's not chill.
Yeah. She's okay. Anything but chill.
She's redlined.
She takes it way too seriously, which I respect, you know, as someone who likes to obsess over stuff. I think I get that aspect from her, but you know, she deep dives, you know, she'll
not. Now, when it comes to like the, when you get obsessive and you throw gambling in the mix, that's always.
I think that she actually has always had, like, I know her gambling habits because of like us going to like gambling and like casinos and stuff. So actually, I know she. She actually has very good tolerance when it comes to that stuff. Okay. But the fact that she likes the obsessing over the details, and she likes to be able to call multiple parlays and stuff like that, and be able to call stuff, you know, like, oh, I called it. And that's more, she gets more of a high off of that than even just the money, you know?
Okay. It's about becoming an oracle of, yeah, of the ball.
Pretty much. I mean, I got her. So she's really good. Like for fantasy, she dominated again this year for like the fourth year in a row. And, you know, she's in multiple leagues and
have you thought about making money off your mother and like yeah, putting some money down on her predictions?
I mean, it could. I mean, I'm versing her in one of the fantasy leagues. So it's like, it sucked to bet against myself, you know, but, I got her actually for Christmas. I got her a custom fantasy football shirt. It's a Lions style jersey, but it says the name of her team, her fantasy team, Big Drama on it. And it says Vander Hayden on the back.
Big Drama Vander Hayden. Is
big,
that what?
Yeah.
Big Drama Mama Vander Hayden.
Big Drama that? Mama. That's all what right. My brother used to call her, as like a tongue in cheek kind of thing. Like, okay, Big Drama. And so that okay. She made that. And so her thing is Big D. You know, you got the, you know, they got the, you get four letters, right?
Yeah.
So I'm the Corks and Water Boys and she's Big Drama. And it's her B-I-G-D. That's okay. Her call sign.
Wow. All
it's
right.
Like, yep.
You see, that's my mom. I don't even want to make fun of that because it's just too easy. Just right there. I mean, it just exists.
Yeah. So, you know.
Fantastic. All right.
Fantastical. Fantastic. And I got her a ring that's like that Super Bowl style ring.
Okay.
And it's it says the greatest of all time. It's got a goat on it, like a golden goat.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't just put football. A big D on there.
Yeah. I mean, I say, I was like, you know, it can't make it too intense with the whole big D because, you know, it's hard to explain that amongst mixed crowds, you know.
Yeah.
The Scott Castle Gators, they understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They knew immediately.
If they're appalled by that,
they're wondering why we haven't delved deeper into the D.
Yeah. They're like, I mean, got Sneaky D right here. And they got Sneaky D and Big D.
Sneaky D and the D came from Big D. Big D is his mother. Why yeah. Are we not delving into this as
my origin
item?
Story? See, now we need to do. Like a, you know, it's just like everybody has their origin story, you know. It's like and that's mine.
Okay,
there it is. It's not a tragic backstory, it's just a backstory.
I mean, we gotta do something right off the bat here, because you were telling me earlier and I'm too curious, I can't help myself. But you said that this year you're not focusing on D&D as much. It's that D&D is more of like a flavor.
No, I still am. You no. said you know, it's actually in a roundabout way it is.
Okay.
I mean, it's always got to be related to something. No, the biggest thing, so I just on a whim at the end of this last year was just like, I mean, I'm trying to like get into live play stuff with people. I'm trying to get casted into other live plays as a networking thing.
Like LARPing?
No, well, that'd be sick. But I mean, we did meet some people down at Gen Con that were into that. And I actually should follow up on that some more. But no, I was like thinking about, you know, just I'm watching these Critical Role shows and voice acting and stuff like that. And I'm like, I've always really enjoyed doing voices and stuff like that. And we were recently with Bendy, we were at that, you know, we did that.
The Mastics movie or what?
The Hometown Summer.
Yeah.
So I got myself a backstage profile, man.
Oh,
I actually
okay.
put the bullet on that. So, and what's weird, I already got some.
Okay.
I got some application offers already.
Oh, really? What? Fluffer number two.
Fluffer number three. 4th of July party. Fluffer number three.
There you go.
Yeah, actually, dude, we should have been the fluffers for the for Bendy.
We could have fluffed him
when he was doing the stripper scenes. It would have been it would have been peak.
I mean, fluffed.
If I could have said that was my first exposure to Hollywood, and you know what? That would be like a paid internship, right?
Yeah.
We can actually say that. When we started off, at our very first roles, we were paid actors from the beginning, right?
That's true. We never did no acting for free.
Right.
We always got our money.
Well, Detroit's probably got some opportunities here, man. So I got, the first one I got is from, it's in Grand Rapids. It's this film, and I don't know too much of the details. It's just like a script, but unfortunately, it's one I'm going to be down in Florida. Is the first? It's down in March 12th.
So wait a minute, but like you're always in Florida. Like, why was that?
Did no, you apply every week?
You're there in a week. Oh, while you're in Florida,
every other week. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm down there.
I thought you meant like there was a gig in Florida that you could. That you're trying
probably,
to
but I'm not going to when I'm down there. Like, sorry, you can't do therapy today. We can't focus on your walking. you know, rehabilitation stuff.
Yeah, I must act.
I got to go fluff some guy for, you know.
It's a gateway gig.
Gateway, indeed. Yeah. I looked at the guy. It's interesting. The guy sent me, it's like a little script, and it shows the parts. And it was for this guy called.
Do you have like the script on your phone? Can
yeah.
You do like a. Can I get a?
I have a.
I want to do a. I really want to hear. Oh, like you want a line reading here?
Let's do a cold reading.
Yeah, I want to see what kind of. I want to know. You know, what is the scene you're trying to act? What's the emotion you're going for? I want to hear about.
So there
craft.
Was a sample that they sent. Here it is, and it just says, "You want to? I don't know. I don't even know what. You want to read it? Or you want to do the parts of it. So there's the guy. It's basically a guy getting stuck up at a gas station. And there's a gunner. And they wanted me to be the gunner.
Okay, email that shit to me. We're going to put it up. Right, we've got our terminals up here. We're going to use them.
Scott's got the freaking... He's got the guy from The Matrix, the architect look going on here. He's the guy in the chair right now.
I am the guy in the chair.
So you want me to email it to?
I guess
Pop for Scott Guest. What is?
Yeah,
Scott,
go for that.
Does that one still work?
Probably.
I mean, the people that are watching, like listening to old episodes, are like Hot for Scott Guest. I could do. Let me get the old Gmail.
The number 4 and then scottcast@gmail.com, and you can email me directly. I won't read it because I haven't logged into this thing in about 300 years. Probably got all sorts of weird illicit.
I'll just start typing in Scott Krause. Scott Krause. Yeah, send that one. How about that one? All right, here's the script. Little thing.
This is gonna be great. Let me see. That adds a marker. Okay. Does that come here?
Yeah, this. I forget what they called it. It was like a. It's part of like a auditioning process. There's like a.
She emailed it to the right person.
I did to the Scott Krause.
Oh, you did that one. Okay.
Yep. Should be able to switch on the upper right corner there, right?
Yeah, you could.
Oh, is it not? Is it spam?
Maybe you're spamming me, man. You're fucking spamming me. Oh, you did. Oh my God.
Yeah, buddy. It might be dangerous. It looks safe. Say it looks safe.
It is like a bare link to a PDF from a CDN. Okay. Good job, Google. You should have blocked that.
Got to mark that as looks safe. Here we go.
All right. So this is Gary Sides, $126 on Pump 6, written by Isaac Che Rosales.
It reminds me of like the Tip Jar Bandits almost kind of start. You know, it's like, I think it's a guy getting stuck up for like, he's just getting his gas filled. I don't even think it's like he's robbing him. I think he's trying to take his money from him.
Okay, so we got a Gary, we got a Corbin. Which one were you reading for?
I must be Corbin, I guess. Go down a little bit.
You're Corbin?
Yeah, no, Gary. I'm Gary.
Okay, you're the stick up man?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want me to be the other guy and like deliver dry lines so
yeah,
that
let's
you can
go. Let's,
I'm going to be as dry as possible.
I got some dry wine right now. I'm ready.
You don't have to be you need to act. You need to act your ass off. You need to prove to me this is a viable career.
Shit, man. You know, I just skim read this. I'm not sure I'm ready, but let's go.
You know, but this is it. You know, you got to get into character. You got to show me your craft, like, in its most bare form.
this seems like a scene for Goodwill Hunting. The fuck with me, man? It's basically they just watch Goodwill Hunting, and they're like, but it's a guy at a gas station. He's desperate, but he doesn't get help, and it is his fault.
Did like a find and replace on Will and Ben.
All right, let me get my gun out.
Okay. So
I think I just ruined it because he's not even cocked.
You're Gary, right? I'm Corbin.
I'm Gary. Yeah, you want to read the thing?
I'm Corbin. Okay. Okay, so Corbin rounds the street to a huge gun brandished by a nervous mugger, Gary, that is our sneaky D, pointing right in his face, which will be mine. Okay.
He fumbles with it a little bit, though, first.
Okay.
The cash, man. Give me the cash.
Been here long?
Don't fuck with me, man. Just give me the cash, okay?
Isn't that a 22 Magnum? You know, you could hurt someone with this puppy. Good thing it's not cocked. Gary is lost.
It's not?
You gotta pull the pin back.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. And with lightning speed, Corbin grabs the gun from Gary. You know, these things are very illegal. I better hang on to it for you. Gary's eyes pop out of his head.
That's okay. I don't need it. I didn't need it. I guess I didn't need it. I don't need it. Gee, thanks, mister. I guess he said it twice.
What the fuck is this scene?
I don't know why they said it twice, but
okay. Okay, scene, right? That's what you gotta see at the end. Yeah. Scene. All right.
Shucks, I guess I didn't need it. And then they're best friends. That's how they met.
Okay. I mean, is it supposed to be like, okay, I'm a little confused in the story. So tell me about your motivation as Gary in this.
Like, are you supposed to be my casting director? I mean, I thought you were supposed to be the guy with the vision here, Mr. Director.
Well, like, how were you approaching the character as on the page?
I was picturing this guy. He's, you know, he's got a scraggly-looking beard, long hairs on his face. He's a little rough. He's a little twitchy. He's a little nervous. You know, he's in like it's wintertime. It's cold. You know, it's probably freezing. I'm assuming it's in Grand Rapids. I'm guessing it's where we're going to be shooting.
Okay.
And, you know, and he's going at some, you know, maybe the west side of the city, you know, it's a little rougher. He's at maybe a 7-Eleven or something like that.
Have you ever been like mugged in around that area?
No.
Okay.
No, not in that area. No. Down the nice side where the people are, you wouldn't expect it. You know, he's probably got like a, he's going in, he got his, it actually is probably on 7-Eleven. Like it's maybe that'd be too warm of a day. But anyways, he shouldn't have gotten a Slurpee because, you know, he's got the brain freeze. He's actually freezing, which makes it, you know, even though he's got the long coat on, he's like, shouldn't have got something cold in the wintertime. It was a stupid decision, but he wanted to feel numb in the moment.
This is Gary?
This is Gary.
Okay. Yeah. So he wanted to feel numb, so he gave himself a brain freeze?
He's got a little blue on his teeth, you know, I mean, on his tongue, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And he's like, God, now I'm not even going to look serious about it. But he's like, he's got to make up for it with a little bit of extra panache. So, you know, he goes to try to be subtle, and he gets stuck, you know? But he forgot to cock the gun, you know? So... he's obviously an amateur, and this guy's obviously some kind of John Wick badass here.
Corbin. Yeah.
Yeah. So he sees this guy and he's like, this guy probably speaks Russian.
Yeah. The only other Corbin I know of in pop culture is Corbin Dallas from Fifth Element, Bruce Willis movie with Mila Jovovich.
Never seen it, actually.
You've never seen The Fifth Element?
I know.
Wow, that's some nerd cred you just lost.
That's okay.
That's like a Paramount film.
I don't think I need nerd cred at this point.
You know?
Actually, I run my own D&D show, but I need nerd cred.
You know, honestly, you might get brigaded. People might.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's good if you haven't seen some classics, you know, because, you know, it's like you gotta see things a little later in life. You know, if you saw it when you're young and then everybody, you thought it was like kind of shit. When you first saw it, and then people say it's good, then you're like, oh yeah, and then you kind of memory wash it a little bit, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, it's the greatest or whatever. But you watch it sober, maybe not sober, when you're older, you know, with a different perspective on the world, mm-hmm. you can just appreciate it for its actual value, rather than just riding the coattails and, you know, everybody agreeing with everybody else on it, you know. So
yeah,
you can just appreciate it for what it is. You don't have to. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. But let's get back to your acting. Because that was a little bit of a rabbit hole with the Fifth Element stuff. But the real thing on the table is that you want to make a career out of this?
I want to practice doing it. So this is actually like I have different tabs on my profile. I have a voiceover one. And then for shits and giggles, I have the actor and performer one, because that is more of like doing like a live show.
Do you have like pictures of yourself with your ripped bod in your profile and your CV? Do you have like the full cut photographs with the professional lighting?
Akuma pictures on there, which shows that it's not me shirtless, but it's like, you know, I'm doing the poses from like Gen Con. That one guy, professional photographer, did that. I just made the profiles, right? So I don't like on hand have those like shirtless pictures of me and stuff like that. I didn't want to do the Zardoz pictures either, right? So, you know, because that might be a little too much. For the, it may be though. You know,
you get typecast as a sexual being.
I get typecast as a swashbuckling, you know, very flamboyant guy, but, you know, which is fine. It's cool to do that, but you don't want to get pigeonholed. You want to show some range. But no, I wanted to do it for like, you know, being in a live play show. So, because I want to also cast people for our show one day is like, you know, like actors that are mostly voice actors, but they also are good in front of the camera.
So is this like you revealing that you're going to replace us all with paid talent?
But like, here's Scott. It's like this chiseled, like this Giga Chad man. He's like, and I was like, and you need to act like Scott, remember? Be more sardonic now.
Okay.
Remember, you're a jaded little kobold.
He goes method and just completely ruins his life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but I thought it would be kind of cool to, for the voice acting stuff. And then I also have a profile for that. And then there's another one, too. I can't remember. It's not crew. It's something else. But there's like different profiles you can do on there. And I really just want to do it for the voice acting stuff because I think that's just a lot of fun. You can call that in. You can do that on a whim. You can quickly audition for something, and a lot of the work it can be done remotely. So,
okay. I mean, how many voice actors are there these days? Like,
I'm sure there's
it's got to be blown up.
Oh yeah, because anybody can get a mic now, right? But I think that, you know, when people are first starting out, at least I have a background in how to, you know, I can make sure that when I send it in, it's good quality. Excuse me, it's good. You know, just do the basics on making sure that. You go through some kind of DAW, and whether it's Audition or, you know, Audacity or something, just, you know, clean it up before you send in a reel and stuff like that. I feel like I can make my own reel, whereas most people are probably just, they probably don't know what they're doing at all. They got a mic and they think that they're good, you know, because they got an expensive mic.
So what other gigs have you applied for besides
I haven't applied Gary? For anything. I didn't apply for something. These are just people cold calling, like reaching out to me.
Well, like, do you say you work cheap or something?
No, I haven't said anything on there.
Oh wow!
I'm not even done with the profile. Like
I'm not even done with the profile.
I put it public, and I put some like what I have for my equipment and like some of my background and like my little bio and stuff. But I haven't even filled out like for the voice stuff. I put down all the different voices I can do, which is a long list of like all these different accents and all these different personas, the style of your voice. And
are you sure like they're not like they're? Are you sure they're like sending things to you, and it's not like the site is just sending you opportunities that match your filters?
It just says like they have a job opportunity. You can now apply. So it's not like I got it. It's just
they're not, and they didn't like select your profile to send you a copy of the script.
Maybe. I think they just select candidates, and they're probably looking
for. Who selects?
The people that are running the project, whoever's the project leader.
The guy who wrote Corbin, Isaac.
Yeah, the producer.
Isaac Rosales. Sure.
Yeah, he's probably just like it says. An age range, male, 25 to 45. I'm 35, so
you know, it's like right in the he's just there. Like, we need to get David. David needs to play Gary. David is our Gary.
He's our Gary.
I wrote Gary thinking
I would
of
much
David.
Rather not do like the stuff. Like, I don't want to drive out to Grand Rapids, but I mean, for the opportunity to be cool at first, but I'd rather just do the voice acting stuff. And that's kind of what I want to get my feet wet in, is get in the industry. And then we have a better opportunity for when I have to recruit myself, too.
Okay. Can we get just another line reading? I just want to hear the first line again. The cash man, give me the cash. I want to really believe it, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me go get a real gun.
Shoot me. Okay. Let's be quiet. Well, I'll give you that thing, and then like when you're ready, just give me.
I feel
line.
Like there needs to be a line from Corbin here saying, "Oh, what the fuck!" Like it's got a guy, he's got a gun in his face, you know. So I feel like,
I mean, like in the scene, Corbin just rounds the street, whatever that means. He rounds the street to a huge
rounds
gun.
Rounds the street.
Who? What? So what does rounding his street mean?
He's just horse blinders. He's just walking. So I guess it's like, so he's not at the gas. Is he rounding the street around the gas station?
Is he tall? Is he walking in the street or is he on the sidewalk? So I'm imagining what he's trying to write here is that you go sharply around a corner of a building where the building, you know, has a busy sidewalk. And as soon as Corbin rounds the corner, you, Gary, are pointing a gun.
See, I was picturing
Corbin
at a gas
space.
Station. I didn't even read that first part. Because like I said, I skim read this. I didn't even, you know, I'm not, I once I saw the date, I was like.
Well, yeah. It know. Says $126 on pump six, but nothing about this has anything to do with pump six. So I think that's a different scene in this here play.
Maybe.
Or TV show.
So, and, okay. And what does he say? He's like, you've been here long. So he's like waiting for him then, right? He's like, obviously he's like, you've been
we're
here
not
long.
Even concerned with that part, man. We're concerned with the first line. You're talking second line. I want to hear this first line again, man.
Well, see what they
I
do.
I want to believe it.
What I might ask for
you're
is
giving
what's
me analysis,
this,
man.
What's called might be a, what I might ask for, you know, this is something that like experienced actors do, is they say, I want to do a series on this, okay?
A series.
Yeah, a series. So
what
it's
does
like,
that mean?
You do the same shot, but you slowly ramp up the intensity. So like in the Stranger Things, when Eleven is having like her breakdown in going into spoilers for you. This is just okay. Like when she is like going through like the facility where she was obviously traumatized and she's reliving that trauma. She's having like a breakdown. That's all I'll say about it for people who haven't seen the show. You know, she's having like a breakdown. So she'll do a take at a certain amount of intensity, and then they'll do the same take again, and then the same take again. And each one, she's getting more and more amped up.
Let's do a series. Three or four. Let's go three or four. And we're going from 0 to 10 in intensity.
Yeah. Well, they'll go, I won't start at 0.
Okay. Well, like, 3 to 10.
Cash, man. Give me the cash.
Okay.
That's a 0.
Let's do a 3 now. What we'll do is I'll do 3. We'll take a little pause. Let the moment breathe. And then, boom, you enter into the silence.
I've been waiting here a long time. He asked me that. I haven't waited here a long time. It's out in the cold, man. We're in Grand Rapids.
Okay. So
I'm freezing. I'm shivering a little bit.
Is that where you're at as a person?
Yeah. So like I'm cold, but like also my pits are sweating, you know? So I'm like, I kind of got my like trench coat. I got it open. I'm flapping a little bit, you know? I'm like, should I have the gun out already? No, then they'll see it. So like, I put the gun. Should the gun already be out? No. Okay. The gun's already in the pocket. Okay. Ready. Got it.
Okay. All right. Here it comes. This is a 3. All right.
Let's hear three intensity
for Gary's line.
You got to say your line first.
This is the first line.
And prompt. I need the prompt.
No, there's no prompt. It's just in the silence.
Gary points right in
the I'm going to do a 5-4-3-2-1 action, but the 3-2-1.
Don't
two,
say
2-1.
One.
One. Right, yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Let's yeah. All right, let's I've seen movies.
Yeah.
Where they
you
make
don't,
movies.
You don't do that. You don't say 2 or 1.
I've seen movies where people make movies.
Yeah. yeah. Same.
5-4-3.
The cash, man. Give me the cash.
All right. Okay. All right. I heard a little bit of the nervousness. That was a 3, right?
That was a 3.
Okay. We're going to climb up to 10, but let's dial it up to about 5. Okay? So it's a little bit more. Okay. And then after that, we'll do 7, and then we'll do 9.
Wow.
I'll let you have 10 just for the director.
Yeah, for when I do it? Yeah. I'm not doing it, though. I can't make the day, but okay.
Okay. All right. So let's do 5. 5-4-3.
The cash, man. Give me the cash.
Okay. You're getting more scared. I like how that your intensity is ramping up along the nervous scared route rather than the aggression route. So I wonder, though, as we keep dialing this up to 7 and 9, are you going to introduce some of that aggression into here?
I might strike you.
Are you just gonna piss yourself?
I'm gonna beat you with that mic.
All right, looking forward to it. Here comes 7.
Scott's like, we're switching to wireless mics. We're switching to little lab mics. Yeah.
Gonna whip me.
Pistol whipped, but mic whipped.
All right. This is 7. 5-4.
The cash, man. Give me the cash.
Okay. You will not give this guy any like kind of aggressive edge. It's just more and more hysterical.
He's trying to intimidate him a little bit, but he's also scared out of he's scared to even have it come out of his own mouth. It's like he's like having an out of body experience. It's like, am I this guy now? Am I the gunner? Is that who I am? I thought I was Gary, but now I'm a gunner.
Okay, Gary, this is the birth of Gary the Gunner. So here it is.
He's got some cheap whiskey mixed in with the slushy. It tastes terrible. He's like, this is a terrible fucking idea. He got some cheap whiskey. He put it in with the 7-Eleven slushy. It's the worst. It's the worst.
So now he
feels like he's going to throw up.
Is this you are with the character at 7, or is this coming from like 9?
What did we just do? 7?
That was just 7.
Yeah, 7. Don't do 9.
Okay, so now we're going to do 9. Do you need to take like
a wait, do your neighbors know how we're doing this?
Like, but no, they don't.
Your neighbors are like, Jesus Christ, like heard some like these guys were started. I heard raised voices, and then all of a sudden, just the cash, man. Give me the cash.
Yeah, yeah. We do live in a this is an apartment building. But fuck it. We're here to do art. And art doesn't pay attention to lease agreements or neighborly virtues. It must be executed. Do you need like a minute? Do you need a drink? Do you need something before? Okay, a little physical activity. Look,
I'm gonna crash your whole fucking setup here, man.
You probably are, man. You
sound like that damn crash.
Okay. Sneaky was just doing a little shadow boxing too. Little jumping jack, a little shadow boxing. That's how he gets to nine. I think he is at nine. All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so 5, 4, 3, 2.
The cash, man! Give me the cash!
See? That's where we want you, buddy.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Oh my
god.
I got
a little voice crack there.
You did. Woo. You did. Yeah, man. Are you all right? Do you need to like wind down?
Let's do a 10.
Do you need to go rob someone?
No, we'll stop there. I'll save for the 10.
Yeah, I want you to save the 10.
Did you feel the intensity there?
I did.
See, I was still scared, but it was the power of it coming out that made me sound like I was actually being aggressive, but actually I was still scared in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like as soon as you don't the rest of it goes and he's like, isn't that a 22 Magnum? He's like, oh yeah. And then he's like, it's not. He'd just be like, I feel like he'd just be like, oh shit, thanks, man. Like, you know, like he's just so nervous. He's like, oh fuck. Oh, thanks. You know, like it's just one of those things where it's like, that's this whole thing. It's like, he practiced that line. Give me the cash. He's going to stick his head confidently and aggressively. Like, give me the cash. Cash, man. Give me the cash. But instead he just kind of screams, give me the cash. You know? And so then when he gets that done, he's so proud of himself for saying that line and stopping the guy that he's like, I got him. But then what's his name? Corbin just says like, you haven't cocked that gun. He's like, here, you got a cock. He's like, oh, thanks, man. Anyways, I'm going to fucking kill you, you know?
I'm pretty sure this is actually a scene in, now that I think about
it. Fifth Element?
It actually is a scene in The Fifth Element. Where,
no way.
Yeah. Corbin, yeah, the guy, it's in his apartment building, and there's this guy who comes in. He's got a hat on with a mirror on top of the hat that or a picture. So, like, he goes up to the peephole with the picture, and it's just the blank hallway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he knocks on the door. It's just a blank hallway on his hat. Corbin Dallas opens up the door. And the guy sticks him up.
Mm.
And Corbin Dallas's big thing is that he's like, that gun, you don't have that gun's not ready. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then he just ends up taking the gun away from him.
Yeah. And like, it's supposed to be a misdirect. Like when he's telling him, what does he say? You got to pull the pin back and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, thanks. You're welcome. That's so that he looks at the gun and then he probably like steals it from him, right? While he's looking at it like, oh, geez, thanks. Yeah. Because I'm sure it all happens real quick.
Let's see.
Corbin Dallas apartment. Maybe that's it. Am I getting a gnat here, Scott?
Let's see. I think. This is just a guy who just designed the Corbin Dallas apartment again.
Oh, did he, or did he just use AI?
Maybe.
When was it posted? 6 years ago. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Blender.
We will allow him his artistic credit then.
Looks like a Blender render.
Okay. Let's see.
You know, that doesn't seem like it would be a...
It's not a big scene.
Not a huge scene.
Yeah.
Man, we got to watch The Fifth Element. Yeah, we got to go on to...
Oh, we could do that.
Go to one of those streaming sites. You know, there's one of those completely legal sites. We need to go on one
of
those.
I have one of those completely legal sites.
I do, too. Maybe use the same completely legal site.
Let's see.
I bet you it's on, like, Tubi and, you know, some of those kind of places, right? I've seen it pop up. Let's just watch the end of the great Stranger Things right now.
I can't do that.
Oh, come on, Skin.
That's the one
dude,
thing.
Dude, have you been able to avoid the spoilers? Because like my entire Facebook feed is all Stranger Things, like 5 out of 6 things.
I am not on not on internet these days, man.
You gotta let it wash out.
Yeah.
People gotta get it out of their system.
Let's see here.
I love the face. Look on that guy's face.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, I almost thought about reaching out to these guys and be like, "What? How? For is that just the scene they're shooting for this? Obviously, it's just that weekend, right? So
it crashed.
It's not gonna work.
Yeah.
You ever use like the Brave browser? By the way, it seems like it works really well for those kind of sites. They really.
Nah.
It doesn't allow any kind of ads. No,
that was
a thing. So
that was Streamio. That was just a client thing with it. But anyway,
yeah. Well, I'll have to find out. I guess. I guess we'll find out after this. Maybe in post we'll do a follow up or something. But
actually, let's take a quick break. I will find this.
Let's go find it. Yeah,
and we will come back with refreshed drinks. We're at the halfway point. We're about right, 30 minutes in.
Let's do it.
So yeah,
we're expendable too.
Yeah. All right, so we're back. I found the scene, and we're gonna watch it. This is the exact scene that you have been.
Can they hear the audio on this?
Yeah.
All right.
This is the exact scene that you have been.
I need that
trying out.
I need
for.
The outfit. I feel like that's really like once I see the outfit, it changes. You know your portrayal. I mean, geez.
I could see that. Yeah.
For a perfect world.
So.
Ah! Oh, I couldn't see him.
Give me the cash. Been here long?
Yeah, long enough. Come on, give me the cash.
This is definitely a
different interpretation.
No charge, assault model.
Yeah, yeah.
Good thing for me it's not loaded.
See? It's exactly wow.
What do you mean it's not loaded?
Well, you have to push the little yellow button to load it.
This guy is tweaked on something.
You want me to?
Okay.
There you go.
Give me the cash!
Give me the cash! Okay, he just has his own gun. Yeah. It's very similar, dude. It's the same vibe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, like, kind of compare and contrast your acting decisions with this gentleman's.
Interesting. I mean, he chose to just not open his mouth throughout the whole.
He's carrying cash.
Yeah, like he kept himself clenched up.
He looked like he was really on something, like on drugs.
He was definitely on the tweak vibe.
I was going with more. My guy was not a drug addict, but I could go there if the director wanted me to.
A man who's desperate and pushed to his last.
Yeah, like it doesn't always have to be a guy on drugs. Come on, let's not be a stereotype here.
Especially if it's Grand Rapids.
Yeah, Grand Rapids. I mean, come on.
Like,
man.
I don't think you'll find a tweaker quite like this in Grand Rapids.
Right. I mean, I did like actually that he used the hat as a way of tripping. Like you couldn't tell if it was there at first.
Yeah, there's the peephole, right? And then like his hat is just a photograph of the empty hallway.
Okay.
So when you look through the peephole, it's just nothing. You're like, what's going on?
It's like one of those things, like those pallets that you have. I forget what they call them when you're doing drywall. And you just, the professional guys, and they're scraping those metal squares.
Yeah.
It looked like one of those, and he just stuck it on his head.
Yeah. With a little printout.
That was literally the background of the hallway there.
So, I don't know. I'm thinking even with... Even with the fact that you're just starting out, maybe this production isn't the one to go for. I mean, they're clearly ripping off scenes and characters and then also doing them worse.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily. I think there's clever elements of this. I thought it was clever that they had the hat thing. I think him just bringing out his own gun isn't as good as the guy disarming it, though. I mean, just, you know, he takes that moment to like, because right now the guy shouldn't be able to shoot him, right? Like there was,
well, technically, he did disarm it. He convinced the other thief to disarm it for him.
Oh, so he actually did disarm it, not arm it.
Yeah, that when he said, yeah.
So he actually did the opposite. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
That's the subtext.
Okay, so that actually is better. Maybe, yeah. I didn't. I was expecting him to grab the gun, and he whipped out his own. Yeah. That was interesting. What is even on that guy? Is it like a bunch of nails and stuff? Like, what's the point of that? Is it just supposed to look? It's a look?
I mean, it's the future, right? It's like 200-300 years in the future.
Got spikes on things.
You know, flying cab. Like, Corbin Dallas is a cab driver, and he drives a flying cab. It's basically exactly like Futurama with the cars.
Yeah.
It's
okay to draw inspiration from stuff, yeah.
I mean, that's not inspiration, man. That's like deleting some aspects.
I mean, it wasn't in an apartment, though. This one, the guy was around the corner. This guy is just—he's just opening his door.
Well, you know what? In defense of that random director who I'm shitting on, I bet he, I bet that part of the script isn't even really part of the project he's in.
Well, the fact that he labeled it Corbin means that he's directly acknowledging that he's drawing inspiration from the scene. I don't see how any other way, since you said that's literally the only guy I've ever heard of Corbin, and it's the exact same scene. There's no way that's coincidence.
Well, now that you know this.
That's like saying McClane or something, and then he's like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, that's not it. That's not at all from Die Hard.
And you know, you're reading for Gary. So maybe what they want out of Gary is this guy.
Yeah.
They want this. They don't write it in the script, but they want a tweaker.
Mm.
And that's what that whole rigor morale was about with just copying this. It's like they were like, we need to see
if you're a film buff right off the bat.
We need an actor who understands film history, knows how to portray tweaker.
That's actually interesting, because like this is just a cold script and it's just a little excerpt. And had I not thought to go like, you know, have that connection, maybe I should do that in the future, is like research a little bit, just what I do know. Like, because I didn't think there was enough given. Like, okay, Corbin, that's not nothing to go on. But Corbin was enough to go on.
Okay, if you watched The Fifth Element, you would have recognized it immediately.
So maybe when you do that, you got to be like, okay, what? I got to figure out right off the bat, one of the most important things, what are the director's favorite movies that he's drawing inspiration from right off the bat? Because we already knew that when we did Hometown Summer, right?
Yeah.
He was drawing off American Pie, Eurotrip, right? Those were the...
I watched like Eurotrip about 14 times before I got to set.
I think I've seen both of those movies. Like, I think I've seen both of those movies like on TV at some point. You know, I get most of the main jokes or whatever, but it's like, it's been so long, but it's fine. You know, maybe I'm just one of those guys that's like, I'm not going to watch my own movies, Scott. Maybe I'm just going to be like the guy that took Jack Sparrow. I'm like, you know, I don't look for the inspiration that the original director did, because it'll just get in the way of my performance.
Oh, you know what we could do is we could watch our scene in Hometown Summer on pod right now. I have the download.
I have them too. Yeah. I got the, I took some screenshots, by the way, of us.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause you had to kind of go frame by frame to get some of the stuff, especially for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like there, you're there, but like you're there for like a frame. 24 frames per second is not a lot.
Right. And poor Mimi, who had to deal with us the whole time.
Bless her heart.
Got the same time as I did, I think. Let's see.
That'd be great to run into Mimi again, actually, on one of these gigs.
Right? Compete with her?
Not compete. I don't think we would have, believe it or not, I don't think we'd be casted for the same role.
Maybe. She could be in for Gary.
She thinks she'd be Gary the Gunman?
She could be Gary.
She's got her big old hat on. She's just like,
well, she would have understood the reference. She would have brought her hat.
I'm just realizing how important it is to get to know your director for the scenes. Like, I mean, if you know the director, then you can kind of tap into, not that you've even seen the movie, just you just need to know where are they pulling from, and then you can give your own take on. I think that if you do a facsimile of this scene, I would be showing up to set with a thing on my head. You know, why are you wearing that stupid thing on your head? Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought that was supposed to be the tweaker. I thought I would wear the stupid mirror on my head.
I just read the script, and you had a very specific thing here. Let's see.
No, it's like all those classic people love watching those little clips. Where like, did you know that in A Wonderful Life, Clark Gable or whatever the guy's name is, I think it's Clark Gable, right? And he originally wasn't supposed to do this, but
that's Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, they wanted to surprise him. So the director said, instead of a $17 that he's getting out of the bank, it's $17.50. And then Clark Gable was so taken aback by them saying $7.50 that he spontaneously gave the girl a kiss, which is also modern day sexual assault. But that's okay, because it was on an old skit. Yeah. And they just kept it in the film because it was so spontaneous and wonderful. You know, people love stuff like that. They're like, oh, the actor didn't even know that was about to happen. It was just all happened in that take.
That was the most bizarre example you could have possibly drawn up.
It was fresh. It was fresh.
Because why?
Because I just saw that Saturday Night Live skit of like the real ending of Wonderful Life, where like they actually, you know, like at the end of the Wonderful Life, they're all celebrating and stuff. Right. And and also, so-and-so, the guy that, screwed him over, we just found out he deposited that $8,000 exactly into his bank account. Let's go kick his ass. And they're like, yeah, they all go. And they find the guy in the wheelchair and they're like, hey, motherfucker. And they start beating his ass. And then he like gets up off of the floor and like, it wasn't even a cripple. See, and let's get him. That was a lie, too. And they start beating his ass. And then and the wife is like holding him. He's like, she's still a good wife, you know? That's, I think, the point is, you know, she's still...
This is It's a Wonderful Life?
It's SNL's version.
Oh, okay.
So they say, like, it's the all they found the archive of the original ending or something like that, where they all figured out, like, how he lost the money and they all go beat the guy's ass.
You know?
And then, then they recommended me on YouTube a short that was talking about, did you know that blah, 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 the original take, he was supposed to say seven, they were supposed to be $17, not $17.50. And then spontaneously, he was so excited. He said,
like,
"Wow!"
They do stories like with Alfred Hitchcock, where like he like has an actress like say her line like 10 hours in a row, so that he can get like the most weary, fucking bedraggled take out of her as possible.
That's like torture, dude.
It is. That's what they say.
And it's like, we're just going to drip water on your forehead for 10 hours
until we break you.
And then I want you to say the line. I think that'd be a lot easier. Save her voice. It sounds like that Family Guy mark where he's like, you want to show your kids who's boss? Is beat him with a bag of sweet flaccid oranges. It won't leave a mark. It'll let them know who's boss. It's like, yeah. Okay. All right.
I think my favorite kind of director is the kind of director that does not believe in like acting. So he has to torture his actors.
He's like, I don't think you can get there.
I don't think you could just pretend to be scared. I'm going to scare the shit out of you.
Right. I mean, I know they do that for the kids on the sets too. They'll like try to make sure that like in the first time they like when they did It, you know, and they have the guy come out in the clown. I can't remember the actor's name, but he comes out and he freaks the shit out of these kids because it's their first. They've seen the guy. They've met the actor, but they haven't seen him in the clown outfit yet. And he comes out and just scares the shit out of them. And then he thinks he's traumatizing the kid. So he's like, are you okay? And the kid's like, that was great. Do that again. You were on it or whatever. And the kid's like, okay, the kid's into it. All right. I scared the shit out of him. But he's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
that's my shit. That's my shit.
Kid. This kid's crazy. I'm scared of this kid now.
He just does like a line of firing.
That'd be so fun to have some stories of that. Like we didn't tell David at all. We were about to pants him and then kick him down a flight of stairs. But oh man, the sounds he made when his bones broke, when he was hitting the stairs. Oh, classic.
Right. See, you can't get that. Like you can't get that with like just a couple of casual takes.
I want to almost die. Like Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen, Viggo. Like Viggo almost dying like 10 times on the set of friggin' Lord of the Rings, breaking his foot, kicking stuff, falling off of horses, almost getting impaled with the freaking dagger that's thrown at him.
I mean, you know, that's like that's just commitment. And like I don't doubt for a second that like you'll go for a gig where you're earning $50 and you will absolutely overinvest.
I'll $50. I'll pay more than that. Now we already learned that you pay more in gas to drive down there, right? And then, but it's for the experience, man.
Yeah.
But when you get the hospital bills, you're like, ooh, I don't know.
Ooh.
Was that worth it?
When you're on your deathbed. Let's see.
So we're coming up to the 4th of July scene here, right?
Is that what that is? Swings.
Couple of swingers. That was a real swinger.
I'm scrolling right now through Hometown Summer trying to find our beautiful scene. I imagine this is after 4th of July.
No, I think you're getting there.
Really? It's that late? It's after the strippers?
I think it's after the strippers, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep, right there.
Okay, that's where he's talking.
Say, how many sparklers do you have left, do you think, in your life? Yeah. He's like... That guy was, I like that guy.
I think he might have died.
What? The actor?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's such a.
Because someone died from Hometown Summer on the Discord. What? Benjamin Vimastic.
Oh, there's a Discord. I didn't even know there was a Discord.
I have.
Yeah, that's what you get when you.
Some sparklers, if you two would be interested. Wow.
I didn't know. Yeah, that. Maybe at some point, but we're actually.
Oh, no, nonsense.
Yeah, I was hanging out with that guy before his takes. He was like trying to just kind of stay loose, stay chill. He was just chatting with us before he went out to do his takes, those exact ones they use.
Yeah.
Do you know how many sparklers an average person will do in their life?
Man, your Discord is so tidy. I have like 600 freaking things on the side.
Sparklers every 4th of July, and you live to be 50. That is 500 sparklers right there. Wow. 500 sparklers. That's if you only live to be 50.
Tim's diner. Yeah, that was Tim. So it was him then, right? Because it wasn't his diner.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet.
I don't know either. Oh, you haven't watched it? Oh, yeah, great. So you never saw the whole... Well, you have it now. Your
lifetime. Maybe not yours. Can we do that after we talk?
Yeah, so like, you know, Bendy, his shirt, I think, says Tim's Terrific Diner. Mm-hmm. So I think Tim is that guy. Make you feel good.
Okay.
That's the secret of life.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I interrupted something more important.
No, it's fine. I'm going to just go use the bathroom.
David Weiss.
Well, that's all right. I understand, okay. But...
Phil, who played Tim.
What?
I got to believe the message is the correct one.
Wow. And what if is there a Phil on that?
I do like a happy ending.
Well, let's look here.
Is that his stage? This is David... West is like his performer name, maybe?
Maybe.
But no, I'm putting it Tim's Terrific Diner. Like, scroll up to the top there where Bendy's got a shirt.
Yeah, I've seen the orange shirts.
Yeah. Isn't that not? So that's the dad, and he doesn't know what to do because he's retiring from the diner. I think that's the.
But
you haven't seen the movie. Yeah. The storyline is he's.
This guy?
That's the grandpa.
Okay.
And but they all work at like his diner. They don't really show the diner, but they work at the diner, and the son does too. And so does Bendy, because he's the cousin or something in the movie.
Okay. So Tim, according to the film credits, was played by David West. And in this message, Phil, who played Tim in Hometown Summer, passed away.
Wait, and was going to play the role of Doug in August.
Yeah, that's a different in the thing. Next movie.
Oh, wow. I got to assume, I mean, because unless the dad was named after, it was the dad's diner, but the dad might not have been the original owner. Maybe the grandpa was the original owner of the diner.
Okay, so this would be Tim, the grandpa.
Because
is
that
Tim.
Guy looks like he's in his 80s.
I could see this happening, yeah.
So maybe
it's
that's
fine, Tim. David. No, but it's still it's just the same problem.
I know it's the same problem. I'm just saying though, maybe it wasn't the guy that.
Well, I know the old guy is Dale Dobson apparently, because I see his picture right here. Let's see. He was in Boiling Point, Don't Get Eaten, The Wasps. In A Holiday I Do.
That doesn't look like the guy, the sparkler guy, though.
Are you sure? Oh. It looks just like him.
Okay. Oh, yep. Oh, that's him. That is him. Okay. That's Dale is the
so
dad.
So Dale is not dead.
Okay. It makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the grandpa was, it looked like he was pretty advanced in age.
Yeah.
No, that's not, in those shots, he definitely does look like, as it goes in time, you can see a little bit more of the receding hairline there. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I was saying, that's still very sad, but that guy obviously had been a long time actor and very, you know, lived his whole career, and it's not the guy we were talking about. So,
yeah.
That's the guy, that guy, Sparkler guy. It's still alive.
Yeah. Sparkler guy.
Okay.
So, anyway. So I have Hometown Summer up. We're going to find our scene, and we're going to narrate our scene. We're going to do a commentary just on us.
Give that a little, now that you got it, a little double click there.
Where?
A little F, a little full screen there.
You want that?
All right, give me a little. It's the smaller scrub bar, but it's... Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh, baby. 4K, also HD.
Well, no, it's a cheap monitor. But
8K, 16K monitor.
40p.
How many Ks?
No Ks.
None of the Ks.
All right, so...
3Ks is bad, though.
Where should I start?
Nobody wants 3Ks.
Let's see.
If you just tap right on your hero, it'll go up like 10 frames at a time.
You're supposed to be taking me home.
Oh, nice.
So where'd you find this hooker at? Is it your cousin?
Oh, so close, but we're not in Alabama. I'm actually Samantha. We're dating.
So where'd you find this hooker at?
I will say they do look
I'm
totally
just kidding.
Related.
I know you probably couldn't afford that. I'm Travis.
That couple in the movie.
Those two?
No, not Brandy. Them.
Okay.
Nice to meet you, Travis and Brandy.
They're making a bunch of in-breeding
Anyways,
jokes.
Oh, okay. How about we get a beer? I could use one. I'm parched. Promise I won't tell anybody on you.
Okay, but I was actually parched. To keep me out of trouble.
Yeah. I was like, can I get some real water in this cup? I felt like I was fighting for like our rights. I feel like our union demands that we get. We should start a union, Scott.
Yeah, what we should. Well, they
about?
Have one.
It's, what was well that
our own union,
I just
union,
see you're taking
bro.
A real okay. liking to Travis.
I guess I literally just met him.
Well, I just think it's.
Are we before
yeah.
or
about
after
the Scott casting? Scott casting.
You have to ask yourself this.
Scott casting.
Yeah, we're casting.
That's
Scott
gonna,
casters.
That's gonna go so, well, fantastic when we like. You know, trying to replace an entire union with our own bespoke union.
Yeah, we're going to have our own.
Hey, you guys made it.
Oh, this is where I hit my head.
Well.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Yeah. All right.
All right, let's
do this again.
You can do slow motion if you. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Get the little rabbit there and slow it down.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to press play here. We got, it starts with, our scene is, wow, it's like got to be 75 to 80% through.
You
got to
earn the right to see us in this movie.
Yeah, like. You might even forget to be looking for us because you'll be so engrossed really, in the narrative.
You're like, I didn't even see those guys. You know, Bendy didn't.
He didn't notice.
Like, no, he didn't notice when we were in there. Because when we did, like, I was in the theater with Mimi and I think Mimi's husband, and we were just all like the little schoolgirls when it came on. We're like, oh. You know, for those who can't see, yeah, we were like tapping, like, oh, you know, tapping on each other, like, oh my gosh, there we are, you know, and they were geeking out, you know?
Yeah.
And then every time we were on the screen, because it comes up a little bit later too, when we're on the screen, right?
All right. So let's analyze your performance, because this is going to go on your reel, right?
For your back pages? I did put it on there as like my one credit. It was background backstage, yeah, for the actor and performer thing. So
very good.
Do sweat.
So, okay. So we're panning over to the door. The main characters are coming out.
Well, okay.
Oh, there's David.
It's back of my head, baby.
Yeah, but also there's a bit of the side of your head.
A little side head.
A little side head. Let's see. BLC is being a bitch.
There it is. It's supposed to be.
Unfortunately, I don't know the hockey, but you have to right click and go slower. Say you can go fine or you can go like extremely slow. Like, and it's, you probably want the slower option.
Beer queer bringing his sister with him.
Okay. Yeah. Bringing his sister.
Hey, you guys made it.
Okay. Look at that courtesy, though. He left me that door open. You gotta like that guy. That's like the shopping cart test, you know? Do you hold the door a little bit for the rando at the party? You know, or you just kind of fucking walk out here because,
like, I always love it when someone's following me close enough for me not to have to think about that decision. But when it's just like a little farther,
it's
out,
a little. I was basing it just a little farther out, so you'd have to be redeemable character. Like you'd have to be like, you know, maybe you don't like this guy up to the point you think he's a little bitch, but then you're like, you know what? He actually kind of fucking held the door for that guy.
Yeah. It really, the whole movie hinges on that linchpin.
Oh, is it your cousin?
I mean, almost lost his cousin. So I mean, his sister. I mean, his girlfriend, you know, right there. So,
a little bit ahead of him. I won't tell anybody.
And Ian was there, right on behind me. And you couldn't even tell that I hit my head like five times before that. So I think that was pretty clutch. That shows me facing adversity.
Yeah,
they'll be like, talk about a time where you faced adversity, and like, I hit my head five times on the same lamppost, and I still nailed that scene on the sixth take.
Now I'm trying to find our scene.
It's coming up a little bit.
The one with the Scott.
It's when they pan. They're going to pan to the right, and then
is it before or after our buddy here that is alive?
Right after the sparkler part. So you can go ahead a little bit.
If you think about doing 10.
I think he gets frustrated and he might come back out, and then they show Bendy and then it pans right.
Sparklers right there. 500 sparklers. That's if you only lived.
I think Bendy went inside by this point.
This question. How many sparklers do you have left?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I have enough in my garage to last your lifetime. Maybe
we could
yours.
Do that after we talk.
It would be sad. It would be sad if this is the guy who died specifically
right?
for the speech.
Because he's talking about making the most out of life, and I was like, geez, if he died right after, this was his last.
That might have been his last fucking sparkler.
Yeah, that was his last sparkler. Yeah,
I'm sorry if I
interrupted.
Exactly.
That would have been like way too.
Wow.
It's fine.
Way too
I'm
deep.
Just go
what would you do for Hometown Summer?
And after that, I retired, man. My acting career was over after that. I was like, I don't know if I can handle this industry.
Okay, so it must be before sparkler.
No, try and keep going after. I think it's after. He's gonna come back right there.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're right.
Wait, I don't even know if we might miss there. They definitely show. Oh, then they're going to pan right here. There's you.
Yeah.
They're
going to
pan. They're going to pan right here. So Benji's making a great face right now. Benji's just being an absolute scumbag telling a story.
Right.
And we're out in the background in the lawn.
Do you think anybody told Bendy to be a scumbag, or like that's just a natural line?
No, it's just natural talent.
Yeah. Look at the way I'm having a drink right there.
Scott is gulping.
Did you know that that cup is not have any water in it
anymore? Because we've been out there for a while.
Yeah. But look at that.
Your boy's drinking.
700, sweetie.
Right?
Is it lagging? It is.
I should not have skipped back 10 frames.
I didn't know Boston's played dead, so I just threw him in the trash. I'm surprised.
Oh, there we go.
Look at that.
Oh. Hey.
Planning the next summer fling with Travis?
What are you talking about?
Wow. Like, that's
think they show a scene with all of us in there, though, so there's got to be another pan, because I remember seeing a shot of all of us in there.
Let's see.
Okay, so this is what you're on about. Look, is now really the best time?
Hey, buddy. Might be time to change your tampon.
Don't even fucking start with me, buddy.
I know they're getting a fist fight, right? Just imagine, like, one take, he's like, I just decided to take it up a notch. I was at a 10. Never go to 10, only 9.
Yeah, 10's dangerous. 10 gets you in lawsuits with SAG.
The sound guy gets wrapped up in the cables. And like, oh, see, right there.
There we are.
I was going to pan right into all of us.
I got a shirt on.
See?
There's Mimi.
And
there's David.
Yep.
That's full frontal, David.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And give a little further.
We got a profile of me.
There's
Ian. And then we got Ian. Look at me and Ian. Like, look at how symmetrical we make the group. We're like a couple parentheses with our backs.
You guys are just tying the scene together. You guys are the fucking rugs, man.
Yeah.
A couple of rugs over here.
Look at that.
Tying the room together.
I should. 1 minute.
Look at that lower thirds presence by Scott. not lower thirds. You know, the where you, I got to occupy the corners of the screen in photography. They always talk about that, right? You're balancing his right elbow or his left elbow with your body, and it's providing balance for that scene. The composition is immaculate. I already have screenshots of this guy. I already told Terry. This is why I know the scenes, because when he sent it out, I was like, I'm just going to go through, take some screenshots so that, because you blink and miss it kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna crop it though.
I'm gonna crop everybody else out.
Yeah, just me.
It's just you. Well, you could definitely crop out the talent. You could just crop out the main people.
I think the talent would want me to crop this one.
Yeah.
Like, look at Bendy's. Look at the way Bendy's wearing his shirt. He's got his belt buckle outside.
It's a little trashy. He's going for the redneck look.
It looks like he got his like shirt kind of caught in his fly.
His I Make America shirt.
I Make America. Yeah, and he's got his camo shorts and hat. The bright red muscle shirt. I Make America.
I feel like Bendy would make a good tweaker. He had to be the gunman role.
I think he would be too good of a tweaker. He would lean into it too much.
He probably, they probably would tell him to take it down to like a 4.
Yeah.
Right, I have to be probably like a 9.
That's the thing.
It's okay. It's all right. Everybody's got different numbers, you know, as long as you all get it done, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and like you gotta give Bendy the props for that high emotional range too. You know.
Well, I mean, I go up to a 15 as my.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So
I didn't realize that. I thought we established 10 as the max.
I like to assume.
Well, you know what?
Like,
9 out of 15. I don't want to see 10 out of 15.
Yeah,
I liked 9 out of 15.
And hopefully the directors won't have to see it either. You know what I'm saying? Because the 15 is me strangling the guy with a cord of the sound cord. Mm-hmm. You know, like that.
15 is you 48 hours later with zero sleep and like dirt on your shirt because you were spending all day digging a shallow
today, man.
Grave.
Yeah.
Very good. Did you do it on purpose or you just.
Sort of. I mean, like, I was like, I'm doing a Scott cast later. I might not have enough time to change before I come over here after work. And I was like, well, where's Scott cast?
Might as well be orange. Yeah.
Might as well be Scott cast orange.
Yeah, I changed into not my underwear.
Mm.
I put clothes on.
Right.
Yeah.
Got out of your. Long johns.
Yeah, I do have long johns, dude. I've got 2 pairs of long johns, and it's been one of the best investments I've ever made. That and slippers. And
actually, slippers are pretty clutch.
Yeah, you're.
Like, I'm the room that I am always in with my stuff is like there's a draft that where the fireplace is and all those windows, it gets cold in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And my toesies get cold, mm-hmm. So it's been clutch.
Oh yeah,
Like I remember
as I get older now, I appreciate the slippers, the dad slippers.
That's what happens. Like one night, I was like cold and clammy, and I was like, "Why am I cold and clammy?" I went on Amazon, and I was like, "Fuck it, long johns and slippers."
Here's like a combo. It's like, do you want this?
Yeah. And I was like, "Fuck it, Amazon basics, long johns, silver slippers."
We need some long john Scottcasts, long johns and slippers combo.
I'm sure we can do it. Store.
Speaking of which, man, we got to get that freaking shop going for Vicarious Ventures, man.
We do. And I want to completely redo all the technology of all the websites I've been doing. So if you want to do something weird and experimental, get with me on that.
I just want a t-shirt up there. That's all I want for now.
No, I want something weird.
Normally, see, I've already gone down that path with One Life to Lift where I had the whole smorgasbord of different products on there from three different providers. Yeah. Just whatever we're using, Printify, Printful, whatever. Get that thing up there because I want to wear it for one of my I'm filming. And they're like, "Whoa, David's got a shirt that says defeat the BBAG. Boom. Where can I get that? Oh, you can get it on the shop.
Okay.
Got to start hyping it up.
Okay. I love this idea that you'll be like an instant geek fashion influencer.
Yeah, man.
Through your channels, through your voice acting.
You got to show that there is a shop presence. You know, even if they're not going to buy that shirt, just the fact that there is a shop and they go on there, like, "Oh, I'm ready to buy."
Okay. Well, you know what? All right. We'll handle it.
Yeah.
We'll get it done. You know? Like, let's see. Let's see if long johns are at Printful.
They should.
Right.
And slippers too, man.
I think so. Oh, they got custom underwear.
Wow. So you just thought underwear section, you're like, "Oh, just boxers, right?" But they got the whole,
let's see,
the whole gamut.
Yeah, they got boxer briefs and mostly lady underwear.
You know, that's
sports bras.
They don't have it then, eh?
Maybe not.
Huh. It must have been a little Google deception there.
Yeah. Google's just like, "Oh, I need to send them the click. Just tell them they got thongs."
That says storage.google something API. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a thing from China.
Print on demand, long johns.
Bet you they got some Alibaba ones.
This is how we make our money. Print on demand, long johns. Art of wear, underwear.
Look, it says Printful too. Like, even that's deceptive. It's like their SEO is taken over.
Look at that. Like, you just can't get print on demand long johns. I think we've discovered a hole.
There's a market there.
Yeah. Like, we need to get a...
What about slippers? Because if we already have the slippers, I mean, we wouldn't be going too far into the deep water there. We could at least get the slippers secured and then try to edge our way into the market with the long johns.
Let's see. Printify
has slippers. I've used them, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, standard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Slippers and... Sure. Sure, but it's not as fun as long johns.
Not full coverage slippers, though, huh?
I mean, I don't do the back end of my slippers, the back heel.
Mine is flexible, right? So you can, like, push it down or pop it up. I like it up. An up kind of, it's kind of one of those stand deals.
I don't know why that's funny. I like it, though.
Like it all the way up.
He likes it
that's
up?
I live my life.
He likes it up. Do you want to watch the documentary on Pod?
They got the documentary on there?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I'm Benjamin Vomastic. I'm the writer, director, and producer on Hometown Summer. I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who both watched the film and is supporting the BTS documentary. I'm going to take you from when the pen first hit the page and the initial draft.
This podcast might have just went from like a normal conversation podcast, and now we're just going to do a full-on director's commentary on the... Good. Director's commentary.
We'll put a little summer. Video of him here of us reacting to this.
Production. No. No video.
No YouTube, huh?
Yeah, no, we're going to...
...with the writing of the initial script.
We're going to skip through it.
How long is this? A 52-minute documentary.
Oh, my God.
Every bit of dialogue, feedback from...
Is that a real... That was a real joint, wasn't it?
That was one of the best parts of the movie, actually, so that is showed there, the joint part.
I started the first draft.
Yeah, what, that was the best part?
That was one of the funniest jokes they had in there.
Yeah.
I won't ruin it for you.
Okay. Maybe I should watch this movie.
You're like, "Well, this is 52 minutes. Maybe I should watch this on my own." You thought it was a 15-minute documentary.
Yeah. Let's see. Do they have any documentary scenes on us?
Oh, well, go back there. Right there. He's out in the... got the hat on.
I mean,
they're pictures.
Rap and people start to...
He's talking about rapping. It's not going to be us.
We rapped. We did a rap battle.
Okay. I need to watch this damn movie.
Yeah, maybe watch the movie before you watch the documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I wonder... Yeah, you probably should watch it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody... I still don't think we can promote it. I mean, I have the files, and I'm all about pirating.
You just leak it.
I'll leak it. I'll put it on torrents.
Hometown Summer. Summer
Hometown Summer streaming.
Well, I know there was that window with the... Like we talked about before, where you wanted it to be on the film festivals, but they couldn't. You couldn't be on streaming services. So,
yeah, it's not on, Amazon. So it's probably not streaming.
I don't think so. I don't know if it's. I think it's probably just going to get a release later, but it's not going to be a big fanfare because the window, I think, is passing. He's already working on his other projects, but you know. I kind of would have think it would have been cool if he just did it straight to the Amazon Prime so he could just told people to watch it, you know, but.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a learning process for him is that he was like not realizing that, yes, there's, they basically force you to pick between getting it out now and getting it to the masses and getting it ready for a film festival.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. Kind of, I don't know. Seems a little ticky-tack to me that they. Don't do that, but I get why they do it, but...
Right, it's because it's like there's so many goddamn fucking films being released. Like, for me, it's just let them go on streaming. It's like, how the hell is anybody watching all of these movies? No one's watching all of these movies. Oh, it's got released, so therefore it's not for consideration in our festival. Well, fuck you.
I think, yeah, I wonder if they get exclusive rights to, like, you're the film festival, we're going to put the stamp on it, and now we're going to handle all the marketing.
That might be part of it.
And if there's already the movie out, they can't be the ones that are the guiding hand for all the marketing, which I think is stupid because why not repackage something? They do that all the time with re-releases on movies and stuff. So it's like, what? You lost the initial marketing push because it's been put on the streaming service? Maybe they have the rights to it.
Possibly.
I bet you they got people by the balls when it's Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to market this movie? You're going to have to pay us royalties like up the butt. And it won't even cover you. You won't even break even.
At the very least.
Probably that. It's probably that. Yeah. Probably it is too.
Probably.
Probably not just the film. We should put it all on the film festival. There's probably a reason.
Listen. Whatever it is, it's all bullshit.
It sucks. Because what you want to do is just release it everywhere and then have it still get accolades.
Whatever it is. Go to hometownsummer.scottcast.com and just watch it there. I'm going to pirate it.
Put it on your list.
I'm going to steal it.
Yar.
That and the documentary. I'm going to just stitch it right together.
You do a documentary reaction video and stream it on Twitch and just be like, yeah, it's me reacting to this documentary.
Yeah.
It's mostly, what do they call it? Transformative in nature.
It's incredibly transformative.
Yeah. Fucking transformer. I'm Shia LaBeouf over here.
Yeah. I can't see Vimastic pursuing legal action.
Definitely watch the movie before you stream it illegally.
I should watch the movie before I release it to the world.
Come on, man.
Okay, that's fair. But like the only place I will watch it is if it's on some obscure server I produce. Because that's...
Well, first we got to start our own union.
We got to start a union.
That way they'd be like, well, we are a union, but it's a union of five people.
Yeah, but our union has no rules.
Scott and I count as three of the people.
The union is just scabs. We're just scabs.
The union of the scabs. It's the Scott Castigators Alliance of Bullshit.
Bastards. Bastards, yeah. Hey, either way.
Bystanders, people that will just fill in for B movies.
Well, check this out though. Here's something I did that's ready. That's ready for promotion. Kinda. So you go here to tapestore.scottcrouse.
Oh fuck. I forgot to bring your and Ian's gift.
That's okay.
Oh man.
Well, I'll have to
hang
out.
What I got for Ian though, right?
I'm not leaving this place for like ever until like spring at least. Right. So we're gonna So we're Ian listens, so don't say it on a podcast.
Okay, all right. Well, it's related to one of his hobbies, I'll say that.
Okay, yeah. You got him a little whore killing kit.
Yeah. Yeah, I got him a dead prostitute. Yeah, that's exactly what I got him. How'd you know?
It's just, I mean, he's got three hobbies.
Okay, so the whore, she's like, is like, there's numbers on her, and you just roll, or him, or whatever, you like his preference, they, and you roll them, and then where their body awkwardly lands, that's the die.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why he needs to come into our campaign, our next campaign, so he can roll his hooker.
That's right.
Roll for initiative.
Just dropping a dead body over and over again. Yep. Anyway.
You can make anything a die.
So this is a simulation game I made.
Okay.
Where?
Oh, yeah. This is a sequel to the original one you made.
It's kind of is. I stripped away all the elements except for like the actual rules and mechanics, and so now it's a command line game. You ever play one of those TI-83 plus Drug Lord games?
Oh, I was gonna say like Hugo's House of Horrors and stuff like that, where you could like Hugo, pick up the like or open the door, and yeah. He was like Hugo's confused, be like. Yeah. What the fuck, Hugo?
It's kind of like that.
It's kind of so like bad. That. Like if you didn't type it in just right, if you're like Hugo, comma, open the door, please! Exclamation mark. Then you'd be like, Hugo's confused.
Yeah,
Hugo's dead.
I mean, I have a help list, so you can do that. But you starts off. You get this store. You've got $500. You don't have a clerk. Your rental price is at $399, and the year is 1993.
Okay, I was going to say, $500 in 93 will get you far.
Yeah, right? So I'm going to set the price to $5.
You can't even buy a dead stripper for $500 nowadays.
Right.
You want to hire a hitman?
I can't hire a hitman, but I can hire a clerk.
Hitman, clerk, all the same thing.
And then we got to look at the catalog. All right, what should we buy, man? We got Beauty and the Beast, Basic Instinct, The Truman Show, Billy Madison, and then The Lion King.
Okay, so what is the $3.99? Because they'll say $9.99.
They're all $9.99. It's to buy like a copy that we rent out. The rental price is $5 now. I set that.
Oh, you changed it.
I changed it. And the price for a VHS tape is $9.99 to buy. Like,
is this Michigan sales tax as well?
No. But there should be. There might be.
It's $9.99.
So. Yeah. So, like, just think of it as $10. So, like, we could buy.
You got any Jerry's?
Let's see.
You can buy something first.
Is this how you do it? Yeah, we got 8 Jerry Maguires and stuff.
Of course you do. You got Jurassic Park. You got the mask. Got Jerry Maguire.
That's right. 2 copies of Jurassic Park. 1 copy of the mask, and 8 copies.
Non-rented? Come on.
Well, it's the first day. We haven't had customers yet.
I thought you said it's first day for the Mint Jerry's. I mean, it's 93. I don't know when that movie came out.
I think it came out in like 97. Yeah. I got to work out some kinks.
Holy shit. They got Jerry Maguire on here several years in advance. Hell yeah, dude. Show me the money.
So let's get some.
Show me the money, Jerry. What if you say, show me the money? Okay, so you can do commands here. Catalog.
So I just bought 10 copies of Beauty and the Beast, 10 copies of Basic Instinct, and 10 copies of The Truman Show. So let's start the day.
All right. So you're saying next?
Okay. So no customers from 10 to 11.
Yeah. Day one.
Yeah. We hired a clerk, paid for the clerk. No customer showed up for the first hour.
Okay. Now we need to work on our marketing.
Okay. 11 or 12, one guy showed up and they rented The Truman Show because the clerk suggested it.
I was going to say, I would go with The Truman Show personally.
Yeah. Customers came, one customer came afternoon. They found Jurassic Park. They rented it.
And then they never.
Another one found Jurassic Park.
They're like, this is gold. I'm going to hang on to this.
Someone found.
What happens when they fail to bring their shit back?
Sometimes they bring it back and it's destroyed.
Yeah.
Sometimes they bring it back and it's late and you get a late fee.
There you go. That's where you make the real money.
Yeah.
You're like, just take your time. Take your time. Watch it a couple times.
My favorite thing about this game so far is that like you go through this and like at day 30, you have to pay rent
And there's nothing that warned you about it.
Would you thought you could just keep making money forever?
It's like $1,300.
You don't even know what the rent price is going to be at the beginning. You're just like, wow, I thought we were doing good. Turns out we're in the red by like $500. We started with $500.
So you go through the day, and then you get to the end, and then you have, you know, your stats. So total expenses, we bought like 30 tapes, so that's $300. Then we hired the clerk, so we paid him $55 for the shift.
How long was the shift?
10 to 11, and then we made $65 in revenue.
You only paid him for the hour where there were sales?
We paid him per hour. 10 a.m. We paid him minimum wage, 1993 price.
But are you
he makes like $4.50 an hour.
Yeah, but it's like 10 a.m. to 11 p.m.?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
This guy's been to work. That's why I was like, I thought he meant 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And the clerk is cracked in this game. I'll tell you, as the developer, the clerk is cracked because it basically makes it so that everybody who comes in succeeds in finding something to rent.
Yeah, I mean, he's like,
which is very important.
Like, you probably lose some customers because they're just scared for their life.
5% of customers.
But he's very aggressive in making sure they get the sale. He doesn't get any commissions, but he's really into it.
Yeah. So far, we got 5 out of 5 renter satisfaction, 5-point reputation score. You can't fucking.
How do you lose the renter satisfaction? Because the clerk starts to, like, literally stalk people?
If you run out of stock, and if the clerk fails to make suggestions. And yeah, there's going to be, I want to put in a lot more, like, this is a live update on my development version. So anytime you go to tapestore.scottkraus, you're getting the latest version of my stupid tapestore.us.
Almost stuck.
Yeah. It's a fun.
Scottkraus.
It's fucking hacker.
Yeah.
Elite fucking domain name.
Yeah.
But
Scott planned having his last name also correspond with the U.S. That's why he remains in this country.
Yeah.
You're like,
I had to come back for that.
It wouldn't work with the U.S.
Scott Krog.
Yeah. Yeah. If you your name ended in a UK, you could go in the UK, you know, but no.
You can just run through
days. Just hold down the enter bar.
Yeah. You can run through days.
What I like about this is you just don't manage anything. You just see what happens. So, like, you can't tweak it?
You can tweak it.
All right, so you just adjust your prices?
At any given time, you can buy. Look how big the catalog gets, too.
Oh, yeah, you got Ace Ventura. You got Willy Bill Hunting. Yeah. Oh, wow. You got Pulp Fiction, Wild Wild West.
Oh, wow,
James
wow.
and the Giant Penis.
Yeah.
That was a classic. I mean, you got to have an adult section.
Right? You do. Ian wanted me, when I first started building this game, he wanted me to have like a section where like you build an adult section and then like, all right, after a while, like some weird guy goes in there and like you have to go after him and like you get in there and then like it becomes a first person shooter.
Yeah. It's an active shooter situation.
Yeah. That could work.
He starts masturbating all over the product and you're like, listen, that is at least going to cost you extra. I don't think the clerk gets paid enough for this, though. Clerk quits.
Yeah.
Then you got real problems.
The clerk will quit if you don't pay him, obviously, and if the store is not cool enough.
How do you know if it's cool enough?
Right now, it's purely based on reputation score, which is like successful rentals. But, you know, as you go on, it'll be like, what's his stock like? Does it have, you know, interesting movies, or is it all pop trash? You know, that'll affect it.
Does it have those you know, Sundance Film Festival special pieces as a video
the clerk is the very much basically I'm like coding Ian into this.
Honestly, dude, I think now this is just maybe my own personal bias, but video games for the kids, because they could keep renting those sons of bitches over and over again.
That's true.
Because they have to beat that game.
That's true. Like, a big design idea I had with this game is like, starts in 1993 and then like it goes on through the years for like 10 years.
Okay.
And so like it starts with like the
Sega
console.
Genesis on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the games become more and more of a big deal.
I mean, I ever tell you about that story? I think I told you that story about my mom and Mammoth Video, right?
No. What was that?
I think I did, but maybe I'll go through it again. Yeah. So she was like, we would rent like video games all the time for Sega Genesis. And there was like that Streets of Rage 2 game that we play all the time. Yeah. And so they were like, oh, well, listen, lady, like, you know, you don't have the instruction manual that came with this, so you can't return it. You know, we need the instruction manual. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have to just straight up buy this game. And she was like, it doesn't come with instruction manuals. And it didn't. It was like a clear thing. It just had just the little cartridge, and that was it. Mm-hmm. There's no instruction manual or anything that came with the game. It's part of the reason why it was so fucking hard to beat it.
Because you didn't know how to hit anybody.
didn't know how it worked. Yeah, so we like played the shit out of that game. So she was just like arguing with the person, and they were all like, it was like a lot of people on the line or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, I got shit to do. I got three kids. You know, I'm not going to deal with this bullshit. So she just took the freaking man with the video card and just flicked it in the guy's face. And you're like, wow. All right, never coming back here again.
Wow.
And that's why you don't mess with big drama. You know, right? What I'm saying? Because, exactly. Yeah, that's why they call her Big Drama, baby. So we kept that game. That was one of our favorite games growing up. And
Mammoth Video rental?
Yeah, they ate the cost. We never went back to Mammoth Video. We were family video people at that point. And we never went back to Mammoth Video. We just, and they went out of business before Family Video ever did.
Here anymore.
Yeah! I don't know. Pretty much like that, but like I was like a 3. My mom was probably at a 9.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to think. That wasn't any good.
Definitely know my mom on your ass. Those people messed up. I'm sure they weren't getting paid enough for whatever.
No, they weren't. No, they that's why you got the game.
Right. Yeah, that's why they're like,
oh fucking A. Go ahead.
Free game. We're like, yeah, free game. Like, all right. Family Video is better anyways.
Blockbuster, man.
We never had a Blockbuster. It was close enough.
Are you kidding me? We were in the same neighborhood.
That like one that was off of Mabee and Sachenbaum, man. It was right there.
What about Dixie and fucking Whitelake? I lived off of
Walden, man. I didn't go down to Dixie.
Are you kidding me?
I live off of Dixie now, but I'm not going out back in the day, not going down to Dixie. Dixie was that was a journey for me as a child.
No, it wasn't.
Dixie was a faraway land.
You were in the same neighborhood as Brandon Mosier, yeah. And that was equidistant between Dixie and Sachenbaum.
You don't know how to cut through that neighborhood that was Spring Lake. It was faster to go through there, trust me. Trust me on this one.
Jesus Christ. If you just want to pop out.
I've done my research, sir.
I know. Yeah, sure.
You and your Blockbuster, get the fuck out of here. Nobody knows what Blockbuster is anymore.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, Family Video wasn't. I did appreciate that in Stranger Things, though. The 80s callback. Well, 80s nostalgia.
The video store?
Steve Harrington works there with that girl after the third season, yeah.
Yeah. They got a store.
They work at Family Video because they didn't like working at the fucking ice cream scoop place.
Right, that's fair.
That was a good season, though. I like that one. I don't want to spoil that for people. But I like that. Yeah. It was a good Steve season.
I just got to watch the last episode. I gotta get this spring. I got to go to Nebraska so I could finish Stranger Things. Watch the last episode. Mm-hmm.
You got to do a remote podcast or a reaction watch it with your family.
I can do that.
Yeah. Technology.
it'll be just like we're just sitting here and like my dad's like, why'd they have to make him gay?
Probably. I mean, honestly, watching like a bunch of joke videos before that, it was like, this is so, skip past this part if you haven't seen Stranger Things season 5. Skip ahead like 3 minutes. But yeah, I thought they're not going to like stop just for him to do the out of the closet thing right now, are they?
Oh my God.
They're just right before the battle, you know?
Yeah.
And it just felt a little bit forced.
The most useless waste of time it was in
like,
a narrative.
He was like, Vecna's going to use this against me. He was like, no, he's not.
Yeah, right?
Like, come on, man. He's like, was he going to be like, ha-ha, you're gay? And was like, oh, man.
I would have loved that. That would have actually made it worth it. If
like, just he's like, it was going to destroy my life. It's like, I think we're being a little dramatic here. I mean, also, yes, it's the 80s, and it may have, but we don't know that. But it was like, it was just the fact that it was like, I thought I was actually expecting a juicy reveal there. Because like, oh, that
I was not. I was totally expecting them to screw the pooch like that.
Man, you know.
But
I had watched like a bunch of joke videos before that, like 2 seasons ago, where they're like, it's like he's like getting the back of his neck. He's like, oh, guys, it's happening again. And it's like, and then we're like, guys, I got to tell you something. It's like, yeah, we know you're gay. And it's like, he's like, what? And so there's like all these like joke videos I'd watched about it. So when he actually did it, I was just like, it seemed like it was like, I was like, oh, they're not going to do that. Oh, okay.
They did it.
And they're all just like, you know, just like, I thought they were going to do, which I think everybody thought they were going to do, is like that. We always knew. It's like,
yeah,
maybe. But like those little fucking kids, they're like dumbasses. They're like little imperceptive nerds. Like, I don't think they would have really picked up
on it. They wouldn't have known. They wouldn't have picked up on it. The problem I had with it was like, he's going on about it like Vecna, he chose the one thing that would destroy me. And like, meanwhile, if you look at the series, honestly, like, this is a guy who has seen people murdered, mutilated, torn in half, starved. This guy's been through the Holocaust times five, and he's worried about coming out of the closet.
Maybe that's just the expression of the 80s, man. It's just that, like, he just felt it was that big of a secret. Well, he always thought he was different, like a freak, but he has an extra level.
But not because of that.
Yeah. It's like the thing that broke the camel's back, I think, for him. It was like, I'm already different enough, and then on top of that, I'm gay, and it's the 80s, and I don't know who to talk to it about, you know? There's no person that he feels like he could reach out to, so I don't know. It felt a little flat on the execution, and it just seemed like with the pacing, it was like, hey, we're about to head out in 5 minutes, okay? It was the way they framed it. It was like, 5 minutes and this big operation is about to happen. He's like, all right, well, you should probably hear this too, Mike. Let's sit down and have a good 12-minute conversation about this.
I love cock. I want to suck cock.
No, he doesn't say that. He just says, I don't like girls. It's like, what do you mean? I'm just asexual or something like that, right? And they're like, what the fuck is that? There's like, don't understand. They're not like advanced enough on the spectrum yet. There wasn't the LGBTQIA+ stuff at the time. Like, what do you mean?
I'm sapiosexual. No, I only like intense conversation.
I'm a semi-demisexual. Like, it's not full demi. Just kind of like I'm not a demogorgon sexual.
Right.
It's like, I'm a demisexual. And they're like, you're a demogorgon sexual?
You want to fuck a demigorgon? That's intense.
Hey, we should talk.
We really should have had you in the strike squad. I didn't realize you were that hardcore about it.
That's actually funny. If you haven't seen the finale yet, but go back and when you watch that finale, just think about the... Think about this. We're talking about right now.
Think about fucking demogorgons.
Why weren't they there?
All right, good to know. Yeah. So. All right. So we're at an hour 30. We got to at least cut the show short, so I don't.
Let's just spoil all Stranger Things for people.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Well, that was a good start to 2026. You know.
Yeah. Well, what did we learn today?
Oh boy. We learned about demisexual gorgons. Demigorgons. That's right. It's a whole new chapter that you didn't realize.
Yeah.
Man, the way they wrap around you.
I want to suck an otherworldly cock.
Yeah, it's like open my portal, you know what I'm saying? Right, show my under thing. Ooh, yeah. God damn. Show me the upside down. Turn me upside down. You know what I'm saying? We learned that you have a, we learned about my backstage.
Your back page, yeah.
backstage, which I just launched. So that's going to be exciting. We got exciting things coming out for the old Vicarious Ventures. I know that. And like networking. That's going to be cool. Networking is going to be a big part of 2026.
Right.
And then we learned about that Scott's got to actually watch this thing we were in.
I do have to watch Hometown Summer.
Watch the documentary. Release it, pirate it.
I gotta watch it before I pirate it. That's my moral stand.
Yeah, like you gotta have some ethics at some point.
Yeah, you don't just pirate something you haven't watched.
That's irresponsible.
Yeah,
that's like just releasing something. You know, that's like John Hammond without, you know, you're releasing something before you even know what it is.
You wanted to do the John Hammond, not the John Hamm.
The John Hamm.
Yeah.
What's the John Hamm?
You like the guy from Mad Men?
Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen some of Mad Men, but is that his name?
John Hamm?
Wow. The advertising guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wow.
Well, his name's Don Draper.
Don Draper, yeah.
But his actor's name is John Hamm.
Oh, that's right. I like that guy. Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's got allegations.
Yeah. Oh, he does? I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
I like that guy as an actor. Yeah, he seems like he really nails that creepy guy. Well, I don't like that guy. I never have.
No, the only like, well, like it's weird. It's like he has college hazing allegations.
Oh, okay.
But it's intense.
But it's like a very sexist show. Like the whole point.
Yeah. That stuff's all fine.
There's not harassment stuff.
Nothing modern. But like in 1992, he was in college or something like that, and like they did a hazing ritual where like, I don't know, like some guy got paralyzed or some shit. Like they made a guy put his like balls in a vat of fire ants or something and jerk off.
I can see that.
You know,
so he's like an asshole.
Well, you know, the standard hazing.
Yeah.
Fraternity asshole.
Right. Yeah.
You know how crazy they get those kids.
Yeah, I mean, it still doesn't like she like.
And, you probably.
There's peer pressure, so I'm not an asshole.
But also, like, I could never be peer pressured to put my balls into a vat of fire.
Yeah, it's like, I just wanted to be part of the frat, you know? It's like, really?
I didn't even see a flyer. And if I did, I don't know what would be on the flyer that would convince me to be like, well, all I have to do is put my balls in a cup of fire ants.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then I could have this wonderful benefit.
Got to drape them right there. You got to drape.
Yeah, that's where Draper came from.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Drape the balls into to fire ant habitat.
Yeah, which is called a don, I believe. It's like a don. It's when you have like a serious like
because your balls swell up so thick that it's like you become like this extra mature person. They call you the don because you got a huge thick balls.
Well, I learned that today too. I learned that you got to be careful with that guy.
Well, at least in the fraternity situation.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's fine now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we learned that.
We learned about your backstage profile and your acting ability. You gave us a 9 today.
I gave you a 9.
You gave us a 9.
That was a 2026 9. I can't imagine where I'm going to be at 2027.
That's the title of the episode. Sneaky gives us a 9.
Yeah. Sneaky in the D gives you a 9.
Yeah.
Something like that. But you know what, man? Like I said, you want to let's get our foot in the. I want to learn about the industry a little bit. I'm mostly doing this for research.
I'm supporting this mostly so that you put Scott Kest in your actor bio profiles when eventually you get hired for.
I mean, I could put that where part of a podcast. But it's like that's not something you put on one of those profiles.
So. Right. Well, yeah. When you get a little traction, you throw it in your trivia. You don't put it in your bio.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a fun thing when I'm on a podcast one day with somebody else. I'm like, yeah, that was original podcast was Scott Cast. That's my origin story.
I'm not on it anymore. And in fact, I disown it. I was never on it.
In fact, the union is broken up. I'm no longer part of that Scott Casting union.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah, so I'm excited for 2026. I think I'm going to be able to finally realize a lot of things. And I'm going to keep on researching. It's just what I do. It's I enjoy it. So, and the nice part about it is I have zero expectations. It's not like I'm not going to try, but it's just, I think it's something that I should expose myself to because I can only create opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you should think about exposing yourself.
But not if you're Don Draping yourself. Yeah. You know, so I'm not going to Don Drape myself.
It's a different opportunity. It's an opportunity.
I'm not a Don Drapist. Yeah.
You're not a Don Drapist.
Yeah.
That's good.
What else did we learn today?
I don't know. Something probably good.
Documentaries are good for rewatchability. No, they're not.
We couldn't even make it through it because we realized that
I forgot it was there.
Yeah, I've never seen the damn movie. It's a documentary about, and I don't know how interested I am in the documentary. I kind of
see if you're interested in the movie first. you're like, watch the documentary. Wasn't interested.
Paid $50 for it, so you think I would want to see it?
I want to watch a documentary on The Fifth Element before I actually watch it. Yeah, that's what
I could see at this point in your life. I could see that fucking happening.
Maybe, not how you would want to do it, though.
You spent 20 years avoiding The Fifth Element.
You should expose yourself to the original piece of art and then reflect on it. You shouldn't reflect on something you haven't originally exposed yourself to.
All right, let's end with that. That sounds fine.
That sounds very fine.
That sounds almost okay.
Get out there, Scott Castigators, and expose yourself
as
much as possible within the extent of the law.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Nice little tag.
Nice little disclaimer for the lawyers there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Also not financial advice when you're talking about stuff, especially with the store stuff. Learned how to run a store properly today. Tape store.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Like, what star are you talking about?
I was like, wow, did we not cover something?
And we're getting Long Johns that'll be out soon. We learned
no,
that
we're
soon.
Not, because there's no print-on-demand service for Long Johns.
We're going to make our own print-on-demand service for Long Johns. It's going to be called Long Scots.
There's already Scott toilet paper. We can't do this.
Scotch toilet paper. You think that toilet paper can stop us? You think they can stop us?
We'll call it David.
That's already taken as well.
Long Dave's.
Well, they already have David sunflower seeds, David protein bars now. They're really big. So
David. Kings of Jerusalem.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Sneaky John's.
There we go. That's what
we're gonna. Sneaky John's. Why do they call him Sneaky John's? I'll find out.
Well, we call him Sneaky D.
I mean, you're slipping around, you're sneaking around in your Long John's. You're stealthy with your little slippers. Yeah, I can see it happen. They'll be eventually on the store once we, one day.
Yeah.
That'll be a goal.
All right. So lead us out of this.
Oh, yeah, dude. Jeez. Well, it's been a while. Yeah, I think I got stuck. Let me do some jump jacks again.
Yeah. I want a seven.
You want a seven? Okay. All right. Can we do a series? No, you need to do it right now.
Oh, yeah. You could do a four and then a seven.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, this is like.
Tell me if you're going to do it.
This is like a four. Maybe like, you know, from all of us at the super color original, all that bullshit. That's a four.
That's a
know?
Two.
That's okay. Yeah.
But you got some of the words.
You want to see a seven. I mean, yeah. Ooh, I'm going to get a little.
Okay.
Listen here, motherfucker. Okay. I'm pointing a gun at Scott right now.
All
right,
yeah.
I mean, like, from all of us here at the super colorful original telecommunicated transmission, otherwise known as Scatcast, we bid the adieu.
See you later, Scatcast.
Now give me cash. Give me fucking cash. Hell no, Scatcast.
See you later, Scatcast. Glory be to Scatcast.
Give us money.
Yeah. That was a seven, huh?
That was the seventh element. Pick it up. Fucking matches there. A little spicy ending.